Good morning. The Hebrew Bible reading this morning is from Jeremiah. It is on page 667. It's chapter 8, verses 18 through 9, verse 1. And in the large print Bible, it's on page 868. This is kind of a hard passage. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. Hark the cry of my poor people from far and wide in the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of my poor people, I am hurt. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored? The word of God for the people of God. The responsive psalm reading is Psalm 4, and that's in your hymnal in the back on page 741. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You have given me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. How long, O people, shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the righteous as God's own. The Lord hears when I call. Be angry, but do not sin. Commune with your own hearts in your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, oh, that we might see some good. Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. It can be found on page 196 in your New Testament section of your Pew Bible, or on page 254 in the large print. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's turn now, as we have been for so many weeks, to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. You can find this in your Pew Bible, the bottom left side of page 74. And if you're reading the large print Bible, you'll find it on page 96 of the New Testament. Hear these words. Then Jesus said to his disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly and make it 50. Then he asked another, "And how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My friends, this is not your grandmother's Jesus. This is not the Jesus of the painting in our parlor. You know the one I'm talking about over by the books? That Jesus is gentle and kind and looks like the good shepherd with a little lamb on his shoulders. This Jesus is shrewd and crafty and crazy and maybe even dangerous to our way of thinking. This is the revolutionary Jesus. Today's reading from Luke is a bit shocking, disturbing, perhaps hard to understand. And I can promise you right now that I don't have many answers for you on this one. Think about what you just heard. In a surprising story, Jesus praises the dishonest manager, a cheat. And I tell you, Jesus teaches his followers after this story, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into eternal homes. What is he really saying to us? I'm not exactly sure. Except that if his plan was to shock us into listening and paying attention, I think that he hit the mark. The next verses seem to make a little more sense. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. I believe that Jesus is telling us in no uncertain terms that the economy of the kingdom of God is vastly different from what we're used to in our society. I believe that given the context of this passage, Jesus is reminding us of our God-inspired responsibility to take care of the least, the last, the lost, and the marginalized by using money in shrewd and creative ways to support God's ministries. Clearly, this Jesus sees the usefulness of money in its correct kingdom context. Listen to this interpretation from the website of the General Board of Discipleship. Disciples of Jesus are called to be just as brilliant in the ways we use money and handle debts as this dishonest manager. It is not just about morality. It's about finding ways to use money to reduce debt in every form and increase joy and love. It means developing great savvy with both finances and cultural norms. Do this, Jesus says, and you'll be welcomed into the eternal homes of all you release. In other words, don't serve mammon. Serve God and master mammon, putting it to use to reduce debts and increase joy and love. But what does all of this have to say to you about God's view of how you ought to use your money? That is, God's money. Well, I'll let you ponder and pray about this as time moves on. But for the time being, let me offer you a few quotes that it might help shed some light on this issue. First, by the founder of the Methodist movement, John Wesley, and secondly, by Pope Francis. The first quote is probably familiar, but I discovered that it is most often misquoted. Here are the words that Wesley actually used in his sermon. "Having first gained all you can, and secondly saved all you can, then give all you can." That sounds pretty good, pretty standard. But John Wesley takes a decidedly more revolutionary view in a different sermon. "Do you not know that God entrusted you with that money, above all that which buys necessities for your families? Do you not know that He entrusted you with that money to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to help the stranger, the widow, and the fatherless, and indeed, as far as it will go, to relieve the wants of all mankind? How can you, how dare you, defraud the Lord by applying it to any other purpose?" This final quote is a bit longer, and it comes from an address given in May of this year by the then brand new Pope Francis. See if you don't hear echoes of the words of Jesus in these words of Francis. "At the same time, we must also acknowledge that the majority of the men and women of our time continue to live daily in situations of insecurity with dire consequences. Certain pathologies are increasing with their psychological consequences. Fear and desperation grip the hearts of many people, even in the so-called rich countries. The joy of life is diminishing. Indecency and violence are on the rise. Poverty is becoming more and more evident. People have to struggle to live, and frequently to live in an undignified way. One cause of this situation, in my opinion, is in our relationship with money and our acceptance of its power over ourselves and our society. Consequently, the financial crisis which we are experiencing makes us forget that its ultimate origin is to be found in a profound human crisis, in the denial of the primacy of human beings. We have created new idols. The worship of the golden calf of old has found a new and heartless image in the cult of money and the dictatorship of an economy which is faceless and lacking any truly humane goal. In this sense, I encourage the financial experts and the political leaders of your countries to consider the words of St. John Chrysostom: not to share one's good with the poor is to rob them and to deprive them of life. It is not our goods that we possess, but theirs." And finally, Pope Francis says, "Money has to serve, not to rule." My sisters and brothers, in October, we will begin our stewardship emphasis and will ask you to commit to God the money that you will share with this congregation to do the work of God's kingdom. And then on October 20th, the date of the Aurora Crop Hunger Walk, we will ask you to walk and to donate to help us end hunger in Aurora, Colorado, and throughout the planet Earth. Today, we may be shocked to discover that this is not your grandmother's Jesus. This Jesus is shrewd and crafty and crazy and maybe even dangerous to our way of thinking, because this is the revolutionary Jesus. And this Jesus is calling each of us to serve God over wealth in new and creative ways. Amen.